Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
First and foremost this morning, we want to congratulate our friend Jason Wilde, who has accepted a new exciting opportunity for Channel3000.com. Jason, I for one am just thrilled that your exceptional coverage of the Green Bay Packers will continue, even if it is in a new spot. How are you feeling about this transition?
Uh-oh. That's great, Jason. Obviously, he's just speechless.
Very humble.
He's so excited, the words can't come to him.
Feeling that good about the new gig. No, I kid. We are efforting Jason Wilde. He was with us. He will hopefully be back with us in just a moment. But we will talk to Jason Wilde about...
Jason?
Hi!
Oh, good morning.
Hola!
Hi.
I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you guys and what a great show this is and how lucky I'm on it 3 days a week. So
well,
I just gave you the silent treatment.
Could you just for funsies pretend to be Toby Keith for a moment and I want to talk about me? Could you just for fun? So our loyal listeners would love to hear where they can read your exceptional coverage of the Green and Gold.
I don't know how exceptional it is, but it is definitely available on channel3000.com. That's the website for the CBS affiliate in Madison, News 3 Now, Channel 3, WISC. We've got a lot of crossover between GKB and Morgan Murphy Media. I don't have any real interest in dragging my previous writing outlet, but they did choose to stop covering the Packers altogether. They gave me the "it's not you, it's us" routine, but it's still me that was looking for a writing job after they were done talking to me. So I'm really, really happy. And in all seriousness, and I mentioned this when they asked me for a quote for the press release, which I'm usually the one gathering quotes, not giving quotes. But I have always loved one of the lines that I hear from players who get cut by another team and the Packers pick them up. And they would always say, "I'm not here to prove those guys wrong. I'm here to prove the Packers right." And that's certainly my focus here. I think we're going to do some really, really awesome stuff. And, you know, we've got some pretty cool things planned and some other writing thoughts for me with our team that are a little farther down the road that I can't wait to get started on that either. So the biggest thing I would say is, it won't cost you a cent to read my work, which if you want to come back with, you get what you pay for, fine. But I think it's pretty good, and I hope you'll check it out at channel3000.com.
Nice. Well, congratulations, buddy.
Thanks, Chewy.
Jason, is the combine now for schlumps like myself, the back-end guys of the roster, to move up maybe from a projected seventh-round pick moving up to a fifth or a fourth? Is that what the combine has really now become?
Yeah, I struggle with this stuff because I am a old traditionalist who believes that the more exposure a player gets, the better, as opposed to, like, I think you guys could probably tell I'm not a Deion Sanders, Shadur Sanders type of guy. It's not my jam. I have a lot more respect for people that are competitors who are like, I'm going to throw at the combine or I'm going to run at the combine. I'm going to do everything that I need to do. I've got an insurance policy that's protecting me because I'm smart. My agents are smart. And I want to show these teams that I am the ultimate competitor and I am not going to shy away from any sort of challenge. And I do think it's worth mentioning that a lot of these scouts are of that mentality too, right? I mean, Goody, I think, is 49 or 50, so he's kind of in that same age range as me. So my point is that I do think it still impacts how some of these teams view different players. Now, does that mean that they're going to not draft a guy, especially if you need a quarterback? No, of course not. But I do think that the more and more guys that, you know, and I'm usually for player empowerment. I'm always for that. But in this instance, I just don't love the look and the messaging that some players send with the way they approach the scouting combine. But you're right. For those players like you who was a sixth-round pick or Tausch who was a seventh-round pick, there is still very much value in that. And let's remember that the NFL is full of guys who were not at the point coming into the league where they could say, I'm not working out. My tape will – I saw some tweet from Ian Rappaport about – I can't remember. It might have been Sanders that said, he will allow his tape to speak loudly for himself. I mean, okay, that's fine. But that doesn't sound like the kind of guy I want on my team, frankly.
So where do you rank this in terms of off-season importance for teams? Or even just for fan excitement? Because, Jason, I feel like the bigger that the NFL has made the combine, the less important I feel it's become.
Yeah, I would agree. I will say this from a fan perspective. One of Sid's good friends, Addie, her dad, Chris, played at Kansas, not capable of going to the scouting combine, but he and his oldest son went to the combine a couple years ago to watch. Like, when I started going to the combine, I had to, like, chase down assistant coaches that I knew. I remember when Brooks Bollinger was there, and Brooks obviously ended up having a very good NFL career for a guy that no one thought was going to play in the league after Wisconsin. And I remember finding Ken Zampezi, who was Cincinnati. And I said, look, we were not able to go in and watch. There were no fans in there watching. Getting the numbers, they didn't even televise it on the NFL Network at the time. And I remember Ken Zampezi, I'm like, hey, I introduced myself, said I wrote for the paper in Madison, and people are really interested in how Brooks did. And he's like, he was the best thrower in his group. And that was a group that included Rex Grossman, who was a first-round pick, and some other guys that went much higher than Brooks. And so to contrast that with now, where everything is on television, I mean, I think this is one of the reasons why coaches don't go. Now, some coaches still do, but a lot of them don't, including Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff. And the interviews are recorded. The video of the workouts is available, and you can actually watch it on your office TV while you're doing other stuff at Lambeau Field. So it is the way it works has definitely changed, Gabe, but I still think it's important. And my argument, and LaFleur and I have talked about this, you know, I don't know what his guys are doing this week, like him and his assistants. I don't know what they're working on. And if they're getting this time because it's such a grind to spend time with their families and do some projects but not, like, be in the office, then great. I'm totally on – you guys know me. I'm totally on board with that. But if they still have a bunch of work to do and they're not taking off at all in any way, then I don't understand why you don't go to the combine. Like, you just never know what you're going to glean or pick up from a conversation. Maybe it's an assistant coach who works somewhere else that you end up bumping into at St. Elmo's, and you hit it off with the guy, and in 2 years, you have a position open on your staff, and this is a guy that you say, hey, I remember talking to him. I'm going to bring him in for an interview. He ends up being a good coach for you. Or maybe you're in on an interview, and you ask a question of a prospect that either makes or breaks your view of him. And so it is surprising to me that it seems to have lost its luster for a lot of people because, you know, this game, you can say it's about X's and O's, you can say it's about execution, but to me, what the biggest part of winning in this game is securing the right players to be on your team, and the draft is the number one way you do that.
Jason, yesterday it was announced that the league will, in fact, discuss banning the tush push. Loved how this all shook out, right? An anonymous team. Well, everyone in the great state of Wisconsin was like, I read Murphy Takes Five. I think I know who this team might be. And then sure enough, it was revealed that it was, in fact, the Green Bay Packers who proposed the conversation about banning the tush push. Are you surprised by this?
No, not at all. Now, when I saw I think Adam Schefter reported it first, and then it was Diana Rossini of The Athletic who had the fact that it was the Packers first. When I saw it, I was like, well, I wonder if that's the Packers. And then when Diana posted that, I said, yep, that's exactly what I thought. Because it's not just what Murphy wrote on Murphy Takes Five, which is nowhere near as good as the insight you'll get on channel3000.com. But what was interesting about it was that this is also a man who has been tasked with floating trial balloons for the commissioner before, right? Like, that's one of his, and as he goes out the door.
Yeah, they're going to miss him.
He's now floated another one.
They're going to miss him, aren't they?
I don't know if that, is that policy going to fill that role? Like, I don't know. And so he's done this a lot, and this is, I believe, another instance of that. I did do a little poking around, and I went back on NFL Plus to find all of Tucker Kraft's tight end sneaks. And it's interesting to look at that because, you know, I thought when I first saw this, I was like, well, that's weird because the Packers do something similar. But if you go back and look, and Tucker Kraft was 5 for 5, which is a pretty darn good percentage. But if you look, nobody pushes him until, like, he's already, like, the one against Philly in the NFC wildcard game, people started pushing him, but he'd already gotten the first down and ended up turning into, like, an 8-yard gain. But I was doing a thing yesterday with Corey Lindsley and James Campen and Brian Bulaga for CASA, a charity here that Corey and his wife Anna had embraced while he was playing here. And Corey made a really good point. Chewy, I would ask you about this. At what point do they just decide to stop enforcing the rule that I believe is still on the books that you can't help a ball carrier if you're one of the other players on the field? You can't push them. You can't pull them. Like that, I know that was a rule back when you were playing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that is the rule, you know, now?
I feel like they got rid of it, and Murphy explained it in his Murphy Takes Five of it kind of got taken off because they determined it was too tough for the officials to enforce.
Right, and what bothers me about that is that that's a cockamamie reason, right? Like, you can certainly, like, I understand. Yeah, they have the hip drop tackle. That's as hard as hell to enforce, it appears. And yet they still have it. And look, when it's obvious, it's obvious. If it's clear and obvious that you're helping a ball carrier, then if that's the reason you took it out, yeah, there are certain instances where it's hard to tell. But there are also many instances where it's blatantly obvious.
It's like the rule where you can't hit the long snapper or the short snapper. I mean, why is that so difficult? Just keep them out of that gap. Keep them out of the A gap. Say, you cannot be in the A gap. It's not that flipping hard, and they make it so difficult.
I mean,
why was there only one team though, Jason? I would think a lot of teams would have been.
Well, there definitely were other teams, but Murphy sort of took the sword.
Somebody's got to put it out there so they can take it to the competition committee and discuss and debate.
If I were to guess, Jerry Jones doesn't love that play.
Let me ask you a question, Jason. Do you think they should ban it? Obviously, one team is very, very good at it, and people feel a little certain some way about that. Do you think they should ban the tush push in the NFL?
I do, but it's not, you know, because I hate the Eagles or anything like that. I didn't necessarily think that until that ridiculousness in
Washington against Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like once we heard a threat of we can award the Eagles a touchdown if this continues, that was when I was like, look, if I'm the Commanders, I'm doing the same thing, right? I'm trying to time it up and figure out a way to do it. Now, I feel like when the Packers played the Eagles a couple of years ago, they actually did stop it at least once,
but yeah,
that's
stopped it
very
times.
Few and far between. And so, again, I don't like it, and I don't think it's the spirit of the rule. And as Gabe pointed out, you know, the fact that they took it out of the rule book because it was too hard to officiate, and then a team is taking advantage. You know this. Teams, any loophole they can find, they will take advantage of. So close the damn loophole.
But, Jason, and this is something we practice so much in training camp, and you know, 4-minute run, right? Mm-hmm. You're up by X amount. There's 4 minutes left in the game. They know we're running the ball. So we got to get, I think, two or three first downs just running the ball. Hell, you could do that all game long, and they'd get how many first downs just doing the tush push? I mean, it's like they get 5 yards a pop. I think it's stupid. I think it hurts.
Well, if you're gonna move the extra point because it was too automatic, then yeah. Does the logic not also apply to this?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good stuff, Jason. We appreciate you. Look forward to chatting with you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, and read his stuff on channel3000.com starting, I think...
yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Ooh.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payment solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down. On 94.5 ESPN.